Alright, so here we are from fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada, with the Coding for Fun show once again. I'm Brian Feith, and today I've got Rick Barraza with me. How are you doing, Rick?
I'm doing great. Great. Fantastic. Great city.
Having fun in Las Vegas?
A lot of fun. My wife and I are here for our anniversary. Really having a blast.
I didn't realize it was your anniversary. Yeah. Fantastic. It's impossible not to have fun here.
It really is.
It's a great time.
It really is.
So I'll tell us a little bit about yourself, what you do, where you're from,
sure.
What you're all about.
My name's Rick Barraza. I'm the experience architect at Synergy. And we develop rich internet applications. And so I deal a lot in the Microsoft stack, but I come from that Flash background.
Mm-hmm.
Synergy started as primarily a Flex enterprise shop. As soon as Silverlight came out, we really moved into that space as well,
Okay. Aggressively.
And there was just something about Silverlight that really called to me. I'd been doing Flash for such a long time, and I'd taught it, and all that through. But Silverlight kind of was that Wild West again, you know? That cowboy drive came in. And
fresh new technology.
Exactly. Jumped in on that. And what's great is in experience design and procedural animations and doing all these types of stuff, I mean, there's such a rich heritage and history out there that I really was passionate, and I still am, about in moving into the Silverlight space and then kind of moving into the .NET world for the first time, because I'm relatively new to it,
Sure.
But there's so many cool things that you can do, and you can port over, and you can learn, and that's really what I find exciting is seeing, Silverlight's this young technology, especially with Silverlight 3, it's become so incredibly powerful,
mm-hmm.
and I just really like almost challenging people's expectations of what Silverlight 3 can do now.
Yep.
Because you can do a lot of these great things that have been out in other languages, in all different types of languages that have been here for years, and now Silverlight, this newcomer,
mm-hmm.
But now with things like writable bitmap, with creating your own streams, I mean, Silverlight 3 has become very powerful. I don't think people realize how powerful, just on the rendering stack.
Sure.
It's become, even over from Silverlight 2, and again, aggressively. I mean, you guys just dropped out Silverlight 1. A little while ago, Silverlight 2, Silverlight 3.
It's a pretty aggressive schedule, yeah.
It's a very aggressive schedule, and so it's just a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
So what my focus is really on those procedural animations, those engaging experiences,
mm-hmm.
on the UI side, and like I said, I come from a teaching background, so I've really been focusing on showing these more advanced rendering techniques.
Sure,
because,
sure.
I think it's kind of neat. You move to the .NET world, and they're really, really smart programmers in there, of which I'm not. I don't come from that space.
I don't know if that's true, but okay.
Well, if you see my code, it's spaghetti all the way down.
Right.
I always have to clean it up before I launch it out. But over years. But I mean, there are people who are just really, really good at just massive number crunching at enterprise, building rich, building scalable, component leveraging. But in the UI world, you could put it nicely, and Microsoft's kind of new to that space of just really, you know what I'm saying.
I do. I mean, we're typical, we're used to our Battleship Gray,
exactly.
Enterprise-y applications,
exactly.
And having spinning animations and engaging interfaces not necessarily at the top of the list.
I've really enjoyed Microsoft because they've been open. They've been reaching out to the design community from the beginning, from before Silverlight, when it was still WPFE. That's when we started looking at it. And aggressively, Microsoft has been asking the already established interactive design community, the interactive development community, the experience community, where most of us used Flash before, maybe processing, or something like that. They said, what can we do in this new technology we're coming? And they've been listening very, very well. And with Silverlight 3, I'm really happy on where it's been. So I'm trying to put on my series of tutorials at synergysystems.com, my series of tutorials on advanced render techniques, not only to show, look how cool you can do things today with Silverlight 3, but to start trying to teach that, because I think there is a learning gap that needs to come in there between the mindset of I'm working on enterprise stable Microsoft tech, which the .NET Army does very, very well, and this kind of new battlefield of rich, really interactive, really responsive, high polished, high glossy experiences.
Sure.
And that's something that a lot of us, it took years to learn because there weren't schools for it. We had to learn it in the trenches, in the late 90s, in the early 2000s. And so I'm really passionate on kind of a lot of those tips and tricks that I picked up over the years and then that I teach in Flash, you know, to my students who were graduating before, to kind of come over and share those exact same tips and tricks, you know, to the .NET community and this new wave of people who are embracing Silverlight, or maybe even embracing interactive media for the first time.
Sure, yeah. Sure. So what is it about Silverlight 3 that has changed the playing field so much?
I think the writable bitmap was one of the big things, because I think there a lot of the Microsoft tradition comes from that mindset of components. You know, tell us what functionality you want, we'll make you a component, and then design is basically, you know, what color you're going to paint that component. You know,
sure.
Almost like Lego blocks, and that is very important if you're building large and stable. You know, you want that. You want to make sure they snap together. You know?
So snap together, well-tested, and ready to go. Yeah.
But some of the things that we come from, especially from the Flash world, you know, the processing world, it almost came before where it was like, you know, here's a lump of clay, you know, be smart and creative at the same time, and so you have a great deal of flexibility. You can do whatever you want with it, but you start getting too big, it kind of starts falling in on each other. It doesn't have that enterprise infrastructure.
Okay,
you know?
Okay.
So I think we're seeing in all these camps just kind of merge to the middle. You know, how can you be highly expressive and creative while at the same time have that rich enterprise stability, you know, and Microsoft, I think, has a really, really good game with the workflow that they're promoting and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But if we look at it in that regard, a lot of, with Silverlight 1, Silverlight 2, there was still a big focus on components. You know, give us a component you want.
Yep.
And some of the response that I was really passionate about saying, and other people, we kind of come from a visual hacker background, you know. It's like, I don't want you to just give me a component because then it's a commodity, you know. But give me the hooks. Let me be able to do that stuff directly.
Mm-hmm.
So that's answer your question. I think with Silverlight 3 now, they have the writable bitmap, you know. And if you look at even say Pete Brown's work that he's been doing on streams, both for audio and visual, and he did the Commodore 64 emulator.
Yep, exactly.
But when you look at that, Silverlight 3 has really basically said, here are the hooks. You know, you don't have to wait for the component. As if you're building an enterprise, but if you just want to have fun and that kind of coding for fun spirit, that exploratory, that visual engagement, here's the writable bitmap. Here you can create your own streams and go crazy. And as soon as that's happened in Silverlight 3, I think it's drastically changed the playing field, or made Silverlight 3 far more powerful than people are realizing. You know,
I'm
really happy about it.
Sure.
So with these tutorials, we're kind of pushing out, say, look, guys, you can do this right now in Silverlight 3. Silverlight 3 is a serious contender right now. You know, it's not it's already very, very powerful. So,
sure.
So that's what I've been focusing on advanced rendering techniques, usually translated from other languages.
Other language, okay. So like in terms of design, I mean, as a developer, I suck at design. I look at the stuff you do and I'm in awe because I don't even think about the types of, like, just in terms of transitions and moving objects, the way you just fluid movement like that.
Yeah.
Where can a developer like me turn to learn some of those things? Are there any resources? Is it time for us to write a book?
Sure, I'd love to write a book. It's almost a stacked question, I would think, or a stacked answer, because there are already really good books coming out there that you're seeing on Silverlight. You know, Jeff Perry has a book, I believe, Silverlight Animations. You know, and that's a very, very good book. If you're not into that mind space at all, you know, or even if you are, you come in and you want to learn how to do it in Silverlight. You know, so that's a great first place to start. You know, and that'll get you very proficient based on where you want to go.
Mm-hmm.
Some people, though, I think are coming from there's a richer culture that say we might have come from years ago that I think we're trying to right now foster in the Microsoft space, which is interactive designers having fun with Silverlight.
Mm-hmm.
And so to that question, it's very, very different. It's almost like, are you looking for that stuff to build applications, or are you looking at that stuff to have fun? And in the end, it kind of merges into each other.
Sure.
But it's almost your motive kind of starts with which way to fork out. I would say at Mix this year, Bill Buxton was talking about sketching with code,
mm-hmm.
and how all these creative fields, they have that one thing in common, which was sketching. And that was it was a great conference. I loved the keynote. I had a great time at Mix 09. But that point really resonated with me because it's that aspect of when you're sketching, it's a very, very different mindset than when you're actually rendering.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're writing code for an for an application for a client, you have a deadline, and you've done, you know, your flow charts, you've done your object model, and you plan everything out, and you're writing code, that's when you're really rendering stuff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But in between those times, you know, and that's the bread and butter, that's the stuff that pays the bills, right? But
right.
In between those times, when you're in that creative mindset, and maybe it's not for a client, it's for your own, you want to hack visuals, you want to see what's going on. When you get into that point, there is an aspect of sketching. So a lot of the stuff that I've been teaching on my series of advanced rendering techniques,
mm-hmm.
The funny thing is the mechanics usually only takes me a couple hours, but a lot more time goes into all the tweaking.
Tweaking, exactly.
You know,
yep.
Where I'm going to weight the values. So that's also why I have to go through and comment, you know, and get it ready for other people to read
mm-hmm.
at the end. Because it's just full of magic numbers all the way down.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
and it's that aspect, you know, that there's a certain mindset of sketching where you're going fast and you're going loose, and there it's a very, very different mindset. So I try and lend voice to that creative spirit.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
There aren't a lot of books written specifically for that. You know, I think we try and do our part by talking at conferences,
mm-hmm.
by doing blog posts. You know, you do see some books out there. I think there are books out there that exist in other languages.
Sure.
And just as like a developer, I primarily code in C#, but I'll buy books and browse books in C++, you know, or OpenGL,
yeah.
or I'll look at things and to learn those algorithms, those functions. It's not like I'll think only C# books will teach me how to do a C# program.
Yeah.
It's the same space in the visual environment. Silverlight is very new. There aren't a lot of books specifically on this types of sketching with Silverlight.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying. I'm trying to help out right now. But there are a lot of books out there, I think, like the Flash Math Creativity, you know, Bit 101. He had also done, you know, Keith Peters. There's a rich history of books that talk about procedural animations in other languages. So
sure.
A lot of work done in processing, even Open Frameworks, you know, which is a C++
yep.
language. I mean, there's just amazing stuff everywhere. In fact, the fluid dynamics in Silverlight example that I gave, that was directly inspired by work in Open Frameworks and work
mm-hmm,
in processing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more of a translation aspect. So in that same spirit as a creative, I will definitely look at experiences in all different languages because I'm very comfortable with Silverlight 3 being so powerful. I know I can translate it into Silverlight 3.
Of course, yeah.
You know, which is great for me. It's win-win. And I've really been passionate on separating how to use a tool from really understanding the principles behind that tool, you know,
mm-hmm.
and I think that applies everywhere.
Of course, yeah.
Object-oriented program, you know, the same way. I mean, you can get so tied down into the laws, and your program doesn't flow. It's the same with
design. Of course,
you know? Yeah. I do think there's maybe a dozen or so principles, and little by little over the course of my blog posts in between clients, you know,
of
time,
course,
right?
Yeah.
But I do think it's a training element. Just a lot of times you start talking more about the art, and it's a certain time where you need to play and you got to learn.
Just they dive in there and do it.
Dive
in. All right.
Exactly.
Well, speaking of talking about the fluid dynamic stuff, I know you've done a couple blog posts show
yeah.
how to do some very spiffy fluid dynamics effects using Silverlight and write little bitmaps and stuff. I think we've got a new example to demonstrate to us here.
We do. Well, you know, on this post where we were talking about fluid dynamics. Again, there's a kind of standing on the shoulders of giants. You know, I definitely did not solve this myself.
Mm-hmm.
I was not the first person to do this. We have, and in the blog post, I try and list as much credit, you know, to the person who originally wrote the paper on dissipating the vector fields, on some of the ports that existed in Flash and in Open Frameworks that really served as the inspiration, you know, for me.
Sure.
But what I wanted to do was to talk about, hey, Silverlight 3.0 is a very mature product. You can do stuff like this right now, real time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was almost more impressive than anything else, because I don't think a lot of people might realize just how powerful Silverlight 3 is right now. You know, so,
sure.
So to come in and say, you know, you can have this very, very polished, refined experience that has a very high order of visual elements moving around,
yeah.
that has fluids, that has everything floating in on each other. This is possible right now in Silverlight 3.
Right.
So that message first, I think, was important. However, to solve something like this usually requires two large hurdles. The first one was just the rendering techniques. People aren't used to rendering in Silverlight 3 by using writable bitmaps.
Right.
And yet, it is probably one of the more efficient ways if you're going to be doing stuff where you have a very high order of elements moving around. Mm-hmm. If you tried to do this with just visual elements, it would completely kill the CPU.
Sure, yeah. Right? Yeah, those as individual little objects or something. That would,
Exactly. On the fluid dynamics, though, the other hurdle is that the way this is solved uses something called a vector field.
Mm-hmm.
And that also might be a new element to a lot of people. So if you look at a lot of these traditional books on coding animations, you know, most of them start off with, here's how you do it using a storyboard. Right? And mm-hmm. then you get into the fun ones, and that's like, here's how you do it using procedural, you know, loops or code, right? But at a certain point, it usually always involves throwing a visual element onto the screen and mm-hmm. having some animation loop control that element, usually based on properties of that element itself.
Right.
And
right.
then you allow the renderer to just do its job.
Yep.
You know? But when you start getting into a large number of elements, it definitely starts slowing down the CPU that way.
Mm-hmm.
So with writable bitmaps, what we do is we keep most of that information as data, and then we adjust the pixels directly.
Okay.
So the first post was basically writable bitmaps 101. Here's very basically how you go in and you do that. Because the two hurdles here are, again, rendering and the vector field. Now, the second tutorial I set up, and this one is already out on Advanced Render Techniques 2, this one was focused just on the rendering techniques. How do you move the mouse and have a nice fluid line? How do you have that glow and fade and blur? Because blur, in general, is a very processor-intensive aspect, right?
Sure.
If we were just dropping visual elements and all of them had a blur on it, this would completely be dead,
yeah.
right? So how do we do that? And it's that technique that I'm actually relatively proud of this one in Silverlight, because it took me a while to figure out how in the world can I do that. I know I can do it, it's OpenF3. How in the world do I reverse engineer, you know, some of these effects you can find in processing in Flash and Silverlight 3? And actually it comes into the way you can stack a canvas, apply a blur filter and an image. And what's kind of interesting, if you download the code and you look at it, is if you have a writable bitmap, you're rendering the parent element and then feeding it into the image itself. So it's almost like when you stand between two mirrors and you look at yourself and it starts going all the way back and fading out. It's that technique that was really the key to being able to have a very fast and graceful blur in, blur out in Silverlight.
Okay.
That's very, very efficient.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So this one was all on the rendering aspect. And it's not out right now, but
though maybe by the time you're watching this.
Yeah, by the time you're watching, quite possibly.
By the time I get around to editing
this. So, on this technique, and this is the first time anybody's seen it. Now, it might be out by the time this goes live.
Might be.
But I just worked it out over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's my vacation, and
Why wouldn't you be coding?
And why would I be coding? Exactly. On my vacation. Hey, it's I get to do fun stuff. But what a vector field does, as an example, is here we have a picture,
mm-hmm.
we convert it to grayscale,
mm-hmm.
and then once you've converted it to grayscale, you can use some edge detection algorithms, and the tutorial will kind of show that this is all, you can find it using a Bing search. You know, these are all pieces that you put together. Right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You do the edge detection algorithm, and then what we're doing is we're weighting those edges to basically turn them into what we call a vector field, so that every point on the screen represents the velocity of change that's happened. Because that's edge detection, that's usually how you find the edges anyways. You know, where is it changed? What we're doing is we're just getting that and freezing that rate of change.
Okay. Rate of change, do you mean how much one pixel changed against the next pixel, or...?
Yeah, you actually do it with a larger grid.
Okay.
You know, what's the... In this 3x3 grid, or the way this implementation is, and in this 3x3 grid of pixels, what's the change from the x axis and the y axis, and then that defines a vector field in the middle that basically says how much x change and how much y change around this pixel is going on.
Gotcha.
So once we get that, we basically at this point have a grid of numbers, or we've matched up for every pixel there. We've calculated it out to basically say this pixel represents how much velocity change.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that is an example of a static vector field.
Okay.
Now, something we can do, because it always you always want to leave a little magic, right? So here's a static vector field that's stored as numbers, but here's an example of then what you can do with that vector field. If you have particles, or if you have each one of those points define the velocity of a point, then using the techniques I've been showing in the Advanced Rendering Techniques 1 and Advanced Rendering Techniques 2, you can put these together and start having this kind of particle swarm where you can see I'm increasing and decreasing the blur here, and then I'm increasing and decreasing the chaos or noise of the particles this way.
Okay.
So you can come down. But it gives a kind of an interactive sketch for
sure.
people to play with, you know, something in Silverlands. And I think it's kind of cool. But
yeah, it's a neat effect, definitely.
It's a neat effect, and by looking at it and analyzing it, it helps teach these things. Because it comes back to your question, how do you learn this?
Right.
Well, you learn it by doing it, but sometimes you just need someone to help you lead the way. You know, and that's what I'm trying to do with these tutorials. It's not, here you're going to get this, and then you're going to apply this in an application somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, here's what I'm doing for fun. I've been doing this for a long time. Here's
right.
how I have fun, and I'd like to show you the steps I've done. And somewhere along that, hopefully you'll learn something new, and hopefully you'll be inspired and apply it in a different way than you have. And I think it's that ability of sharing that's really important. And that's
definitely.
But I did Project Maestro. It's only because you had done the DLL and you threw that up
right,
and the Wiimote.
Yep.
And so you get that. You see what Johnny Chung Lee does. And I think as experienced designers, that's kind of the thing. A lot of it comes down to here are a lot of pieces that really smart people who've come before me have done, and they've all contributed a different piece. So the creative part for me, the part I'm passionate about, is how can I get these? You know, how can I get these elements and ingredients and turn them into something that has my signature, my signature style to it. And it's at that point that you really get that expression, that creative thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm trying to stimulate in the Silverlight, you know, the .NET community,
right.
the Silverlight communities. That's what I grew up with. That's what I'm used to when I was working in Flash, when I was working in other languages. And that's what I'm really passionate about simulating right now
right.
in the .NET space is getting creatives in here, getting them engaged, realizing how powerful Silverlight is, realizing how cool things you can do. And honestly, the .NET world has a lot of really, really smart ingredients lying around that you guys have developed over the years and
right,
years.
Right.
And now you're at a point where you can give it to visual creatives. You know, and we get to come in and basically raid the cupboard that you guys have had for a decade. So it's a really, really interesting space right now. And in Flash, it wasn't originally like that. It was a lot of chefs, but there weren't a lot of algorithms out there. We all need to learn this ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And we come to the .NET space. And all of a sudden, you guys have this like pantry full of awesome, you know, from open frameworks to OpenGL to all of these things,
right.
you know, to the DLLs that you guys write, to Coding for Fun. You know, see all these things out there, and with Silverlight 3 finally having the writable bitmaps and streams, the sky's the limit now. I mean, you come in and just go crazy. So I'm really loving it. Right?
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, obviously, you're doing some pretty amazing looking things here
yeah.
that I wouldn't even. Know where to begin. So
well, you can read the blog and you can start learning.
I break your first few posts and I pull up the third one. So
great.
All right, well, that's another episode of the Coding for Fun show. Again, Rick Barraza, Synergy Systems. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Enjoy the rest of your vacation.
Though
I think you're driving home today. I get to enjoy the rest of my vacation. But take a look at his blog for the first two parts of the tutorial, and probably the third one should be up by the time you're watching this. There should be some links next to this little video here. So
absolutely.
That's it. See you next show.
Thanks.